There's an introductory verse I like to say. Explains what is the stream of Bhagavatam. Please repeat. Anato pashamam sakshan bhakti yogam adoksaje lokasya janato vidvam chakra sattvato samitam. The material miseries of the living being are superfluous to him, and they can be directly mitigated by the linking process of bhakti yoga. But the mass of people do not know this. Therefore, Śrīla Vyāsadeva compiled this Śrīmad Bhāgavatam, which is in relation with the Supreme Truth. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Turn this on. Have you got the sloka? Where's the sloka? Okay, great. 23, right? Oh, 24. Okay. Generally, we write up the sloka where there's the purport. Am I wrong or right? Okay. Anyway, let's read what's there. Gati Rajani Sam Hire Tatra Smam Rudati Pituhu Nyavedayat Tata Sarvam Uktam Shamistaya Kritam. Gate Rajani Sadhire Tatasma Rudati Pituhu Nyavedayat Tata Sarvam Uktam Sharmistaya Kritam. Gate Rajani Sadhire Tachasma Rudati Pituhu Nyavedayat Tata Sarvam Uktam Shamistaya Kritam Gate Rajani Sadhire Tachasma Rudati Pituhu Nyavedayat Tata Sarvam Uktam Shamistaya Kitam. Gatsarajani. I see the power of the king. Sa, Shri, Devayani. Healing, land, touch a smile, returning to her home, with a tear, crying, but to her, before her father, Nyavedayat, submitted, Tataha, thereafter, Sarvam, or Oktam, mentioned. Shamishtaya Vaishamishta Kritam done. Thereafter, when the learned king returned to his palace, Devayani returned home, crying, and told her father, Sukracharya, about all that had happened. Because of Shamishta. She told how she had been thrown into the well, but was saved by the king. Text 25. No purport by purport. Dhamana bhagavan kavya pola hityam vigahayam stuvan vitim chaka potim tuhitya sayayo purat. Translation. As Shukracharya listened to what had happened to Devayani, his mind was very much aggrieved. Condemning the profession of priesthood and praising the profession of Uchavriti, in parenthesis, collecting grains from the fields, he left home with his daughter. Please repeat. As Shukracharya listened to what had happened to Devayani, his mind was very much aggrieved. Condemning the profession of priesthood and praising the profession of Uchavriti, that means collecting grains from the fields, he left home with his daughter. When a Brahmin adopts the profession of a kaputa, or pigeon, he lives by collecting grains from the fields. This is called Uchavriti. A Brahmin who takes to this Uchavriti profession is called first class, because he depends completely on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and does not beg from anyone. Although the profession of begging is allowed for a Brahmin or a sannyasi, one does better if he can avoid such a profession and completely depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for maintenance. Shukracharya was certainly very sorry that because of his daughter's complaint, he had to go to his disciple to beg some mercy, which he was obliged to do because he had accepted the profession of priesthood. In his heart, Shukracharya did not like his profession, but since he had accepted it, he was obliged to go unwillingly to his disciple to settle the grievance submitted by his daughter. Srila Prabhupada King. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Manitam Dena Tasmin Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Satitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukham karoti vachalam pangam langayate girim yat kripa jalam brande shri gurun dinasayanam. By mercy of spiritual master, a blind man can see the stars, a lame man can climb mountains, and a dumb man can speak poetry. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Chinamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Guruvani Prashayani Nirvise Shrisanyavadi Paschachayade Satayani. So when I first read this, because I didn't think this was the verse, anyhow, I thought of Srila Prabhupada, how he was the best of all the brahmanas, because he fully depended on Krishna. I was there, some of you were there probably, at the 50th anniversary of Prabhupada's arrival in Boston. It was a great occasion. It was sunny, it was warm there. And the first time I'd been to Boston, and devotees had arranged a big ship, not a big ship, like a big launch. And we were all on that launch, about 500 devotees. And we were hearing and chanting about Prabhupada crossing the Atlantic in his mission, and how he had to simply depend on Krishna for the success of his movement. So it was very profound experience listening to all the devotees. how Prabhupada had succeeded because he depended on Krishna. And he'd become a puppet in Krishna's hands. I'm not saying that Shukracharya is exactly the same as Prabhupada, but the point is there. That Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita that we have to give up all our independent mental speculations. Prajahati, we have to give up our manogata and figure out what I should do by the order of the Supreme Soul, the Super Soul. This is what's going on in the Krishna consciousness movement. And the idea is that we will enact, we will become instruments for the Supreme Personality of Godhead through disciplic succession, through our GVC, through our spiritual master, through Prabhupada's books, the Vani Temple. Do you know they're not only building a TOVP, Temple of the Vedic Planetarium, we're building a Vani Temple. Who knows what a Vani temple is? Vani. Temple of Prabhupada's instructions. Actually, some people might say this is even more important than the TOVP. Because if we know exactly what Prabhupada says about every topic at every moment, and then we can take guidance from that. Our duties governing body commission can take guidance from that. This is a high-tech age, actually. And I was thinking the other day, you know, you could have a robot, a Prabhupada, and so that you could put any question to him. It could go straight to the database of everything he said, everything he wrote, in every context. You know, it was a personal conversation, it was a letter. And then you could get Prabhupada speaking, what he said previously, in the same voice. You could even have a film of it coming up. Say someone wants to ask him about this same thing here. Prabhupada is writing about Shukracharya. Prabhupada maybe says some more about Shukracharya. So he could, Prabhupada could be speaking. I know we had the Fate exhibition here, but I've heard that we don't. It's not open to the public anymore. I'm sorry about that. But I'm hoping to be able to have a private view. Particularly, I'm interested in his changing bodies. I understood when Prabhupada was here, or when he heard about the Rath Yatra in Los Angeles, he was especially interested in this dolls exhibit. Of course, they weren't just dolls, they were big. Prabhupada used to call them dolls, changing bodies. And they told Prabhupada, there was a line of people waiting to see the changing bodies. And this was in 1977. Prabhupada was sick in Vrindavan. He's really interested because this is a very poignant, touching thing for people to see. I mean, people say I wear a crazy hat. And it looks a bit crazy. When we look a bit closer, you see it's changing bodies. Childhood to youth to old age. It's scientific. Nobody can deny this. That consciousness is the basis of reality. Yeah. Prabhupada says that those who are intelligent, the mind, the mental, the people on the mental platform, they are searching after sense gratification, or maybe merging with the Supreme. But those who are on an intellectual platform, they're trying to find out the origin of everything. What am I? What is this reality behind this cosmic manifestation? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. And Prabhupada was walking on Venice Beach also. Time and time again with the devotees, defeating these materialistic scientists, because they couldn't really be intelligent enough to see that the man looking down the telescope is of a different category than the matter, earth, water, bhumi, apanalo, vayu, kamana, buddha, evacha. Aparyam, achastram, yam, prakritim, vidyame, param, jiva, bhutaha, mahabaho. They couldn't see. Generally, scientists are not so much aware. Now they're becoming aware. Because we're preaching, there's this intelligent design movement. And the work of the Bhaktivedanta Institute, especially Sadhaputra and Rita Karma and so on, they're pointing out, you know, that this matter is not everything. Consciousness is everything. So consciousness dovetails, Prabhupada talks about in the early days, dovetailing our consciousness with the Supreme. What is the Supreme? The Supreme is the consciousness which is keeping this whole universe together. It's not actually chaos. The sun is rising on time. The birds are rising on time. Every living being is getting his food. How is that? Bhuta Brit, the Svavas is thinking, how can I feed all these devotees? But he knows that it's Krishna's arrangement. Because we're serving Krishna. Somehow or other, this temple is going on. Every temple of the world is somehow or other being managed. Not only is Krishna's Bhuta Brit, he's feeding every microbe. He's feeding every fish. He's feeding every bird. No government has to do that. Everyone's getting supply of air, supply of water, supply of earth, according to their bodily nature. It's really amazing to understand how powerful God is, the super soul. I'm only just aware of my little body. And I don't know what's going on in your body. So I'm a limited consciousness. But can't we see? It's not difficult to see. There's a supreme consciousness. And now in this Kali Yuga, can't we see that the human society is completely degraded? When we come to America, we go to Mexico or anywhere, they're thinking, this is my country, my Mexico, my America. You have to fill up this form, where you come from, where you're going, what are you carrying. You know, when I came from Colombia, we had to go through it. You can imagine why, I won't talk about it. But when we came from Colombia, when we came to the airport in Mexico City, then they said, where do you come from? Where do you come? I come from Colombia. This way, please. So we went down a long corridor, it took about half a mile, down some steps, up an escalator, blah, blah, blah. And there were these big machines, you know. And they checked all my stuff. And then they said, come here. Come here, let's see what you've got. And they opened up my bag. And I got a couple of, you know, I got a banana. So you can't bring bananas here. We have our own bananas. And there was another fruit I brought. They said, you can't take that. I said, can I eat it? No. This is federal territory. You can't eat your banana here. So this is madness, you know. Actually, we're mad. You know, human society is bonkers. Or they say in Spanish, loco. Loco, you know, we're thinking, this land is ours. This country is ours. It's not. We come for just a short time. And we have to leave. And we're saying it's ours. It's our America, our Mexico, our Brazil, our England, our Russia. You know, so we're actually crazy. Nunam pramata kurta vikama. People become mad when they engage in sense gratification. So, Prabhupada understood all this. Prabhupada could understand from his position that something had to be done. So he had no means, virtually no means. He had to beg, because he was a real Brahmin, so he knew why to beg. He wanted to print Srimad Bhagavatam, the Tadvag Vishago Janataga Viplavo, Yasmin Prati Slokam Abhadavachapi. Although it was full of faults, that it was Nishankitali, it was describing the glories of the Supreme Personality of God, and that's what's needed. People don't know who to serve. They don't know who to depend on. They don't know how to relate to God anymore. It's become a ritual. You know, you go to church or synagogue on Sunday, the Quran on Friday, and you do your thing, and then you give up. Then the rest of the week you engage in sense gratification. This is what's happened to human society. It's completely an illusion. Prabhupada says, the family's illusion, the nation's illusion, this body's illusion, my car is illusion. Why? Because it's a bubble. There's a nice song by Mangala, bubble in the cosmic ocean. Yes. Why are we so caring about the American empire? It would be gone. When I was in Colombia, I went to my friend's farm. I was in a beautiful valley in the middle of nowhere outside Bogota, about 3 hours outside Bogota. A lot of young people are buying farms there. And that was the area where there was one group of Indians were there, like 500 years before the Spanish conquest, you know, the so-called Spanish conquest. Christopher Columbus discovered America. Bah, 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 bah. He was already there. So how could he discover it, you know? It's crazy. So then, it was a beautiful farm. And there are artifacts there. There was another civilization there. and the Indians were there. And I was reading, he had one book about it. There was an American president called John Pierce, one of the first temple American presidents. What's his name? P-I-E-R-C-E. Yeah? You don't remember, you don't know who your presidents were. Abraham Lincoln, who was it? Who was it? No. In 1896 or something, it was before the 19th century. It was early, one of the earliest. Anyway, this big chief, I don't know, big chief something or other, he wrote to him, and he said, "We are very interested that you want to buy our land. But don't you understand you cannot buy any land? It belongs to the Supreme Spirit. You cannot buy it. You're going to come and you're going to go." The people before the American, the Puritans that left England, what do you call them, the something fathers? Founding fathers of the American nation, they came from England. And they had this idea that, okay, all these people are primitive, and we have to take over and civilize them. Same thing happened in Africa. But they forgot one thing. Everything belongs to God. America doesn't belong to us. Papa says this is the main mistake of modern civilization. This is the peace formula. So simple. We used to be distributing this peace formula in Times Square in the hippie days. And everywhere, this is our main standing of philosophy. So Prabhupada understood all this. When he got on the Jaladutra, he understood that this is a mad civilization. But I have to deal with it. And I have to depend on Krishna to be successful. So that you can say Prabhupada is like this Uncha Brahmin. I was just thinking. Uncha Vritti. He only had $8. I looked in the museum. Is that money, those dollars, that's the original money he brought? Does anybody know? In the museum park, there's some dollars. It's Prabhupada's money. Is that the original money he brought to America? Somebody said that he brought that same money back. Oh, you know, he spent it on a taxi when he arrived in Delhi. When he returned from America, he came with $8, right? He never spent it. When he came back to India because he was sick or something, he had to spend that on a taxi. 40 rupees. Yeah. So, this is an example of depending on Krishna. Uncha Vritti. So, ultimately, our Krishna Conscious Movement, we have to depend on Krishna. This is our surrender to Krishna. We don't know what the future will be. We try and make plans. Prabhupada said, try and make your lifetime plans for spreading Krishna consciousness. We don't know how it's going to work out. We follow his guidelines. We follow the super soul through the disciplic succession, through our governing body commission, through our temple president. We're not capable of deciding for ourselves in the conditioned state. Because we're on the mental platform, we're on the sensual platform. So, but ultimately, what does that mean? It means that we're going to have to take another birth in this material world. So somehow or other we have to dovetail our consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness. And we don't know what the Supreme Consciousness is like, because we're conditioned. Therefore, our temples are like hospitals. One time, Prabhupada was getting criticized in India. Why are you opening so many temples? Can't you see there's so many empty temples in India? Full of bats and full of dogs and pigeons. Why are you opening more temples? What did Prabhupada say? Huh? That's a nice one. What was the actual answer? It's a nice one, what you said. Prophet said, we're not opening temples. We're opening hospitals. Hospitals for the conditioned soul. Because we don't know how to get out of this entanglement of birth and death. We're going to get, if we act in this mad way, we'll get another birth. We'll have to go through the whole thing again for birth, old age, disease, and death. People don't know this. If our consciousness is infected by karma, we're developing a new body. So nunam pramata kurute vikama. We must be mad to develop another body because we're suffering so much. So this is a mad civilization. So the only solution is what Prabhupada was giving. It's the Sankirtan movement. It's the only solution to this predicament where people are in ignorance. And that is what we're trying to do all over the world. In every temple of ISKCON, we have our books, we have deities, and we have open hospitals to invite people to come out of this bodily concept of life, mental concept of life, onto the spiritual platform, to act on the spiritual platform as servants of Krishna. And that's what Prabhupada was showing. He came with nothing, and he was so successful. Why? Even Prabhupada thought it was a miracle. How did it happen? But somehow the Prabhupada knew it would happen. And it unfolded. His Prabhupada was following the order of his spiritual master. In trying. He tried to do the impossible, even in his old age. And it was, and success, or so-called success came. Because he followed the order. He translated the books, printed the books. He took the books. He printed more books. And he distributed the books. And he distributed the holy name. And it was successful. So we only have to do the same thing. This may be a bit off the track from Sukracharya and so on. I'm just taking this point from the purport. But we only have to do the same thing. Learn to depend on Krishna. And we'll be successful. Because, why? Because we have the perfect formula to dissolve this conditioned state of human society. And that's this Maha Mantra. We have the most powerful mantra in the whole of the Vedic scriptures. There's one, you know that mantra. Asi shodakasham nam nam kalikalmasa nasanam na chaparatara upaya sava vedishudishite. Now, Narada Muni is asking his father, Lord Brahma, what to do for the people in Kali Yuga. And his father said, there's no more perfect, powerful mantra to be found in all the Vedic literatures than these 16 words. They can dissolve, they can eradicate all the kalmasa, all the dirty things in Kali Yuga. And that's our power given to us by Srila Prabhupada. We carry this Maha Mantra. And Prabhupada was Mantra Upashak. He was predicted that he would come in one of his Gaudiya, like Bhaktivinoda books. He was predicted, I would send my Mantra Upashak. It means the distributor, the agent of the holy name. And that's what Prabhupada's done. Now, we have to take this name, like one of our devotees says, and be Krishna, and give this, be Krishna conscious, spread Krishna conscious, eat Krishna conscious, and sleep Krishna conscious. Here we have to take this Maha Mantra and distribute it to every town and village, and somehow or other, we depend on Krishna for the result. We can try, make preparations. We can't be sure what's going to happen. It's our duty. So Sri Krishna had this duty. He thought, oh no, my daughter has got involved in a scandal. Now I've got to go to my disciple and make some compromise. And this is a family affair. You know what it's like to be a father and mother. Your children do something bad and you get involved in some social problem. So Krishna's got stuck now. And he's just thinking, oh, if only I could just depend on Krishna. I'm sorry, I'm a priest. You know, unfortunately, I'm a priest. And this is like, you know, actually, sometimes we feel I'm sorry that I'm in an institution. Isn't it? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that Kangsa stands for organized religion. And, you know, Krishna killed Kangsa, and Kangsa was trying to kill Krishna as soon as he was born. So sometimes we feel, you know, that when we feel ecstatic and spontaneous, we think, oh, why am I, you know, part of a big institution, and, you know, they're going to get on my case and all that. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also says organization and institutional religion is a necessary evil. Because to spread this movement, we're in facing so many high-tech organizations. When you come into the country, you put your hand there and they put your fingerprints, your right hand, your right thumb, your left hand, your left thumb. Look up, take your photo, and there you are. You're finished. Unless you have all your fingertips changed and the, you know, facelift. You're there on cyberspace for eternity. So, you know, they have so much organization. What organization do we have? That's a good question. They're depending on high tech. What are we depending on? Super tech, super soul. Krishna is in everyone's heart. And he's not bound by any, you know, satellites or, you know, Wi-Fi or anything. Krishna is the substance of everything. You know, he's within everything. And we know the science of Krishna. It's a scientific science. It's more scientific than even the scientists know. Because we know the origin of consciousness as the Supreme Person. And we know that bhakti, or dormant love for Krishna, it can change the face of the earth. Just like what Sri Prabhupada do. He loved Krishna. Bhakti yoga is natural for every living being. I've seen it so many times, traveling with his Harinamruchi party. Very interesting, actually. We chant in the street, and then we stop a little, and we say, can you say? And we say, Hare Krishna. And their face, literally their face, they become a little embarrassed. Some people don't want to say Hare Krishna, but the ones that do, it's like a light bulb goes off in their aura, in their face. And they start to smile like innocent children. Oh, Daddy. It's like they've found their reality, their real self. For a split second, they say, Hare Krishna. And Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Hare, Hare. So Krishna consciousness is dormant in everyone's heart. We have to just find ways to revive it. This is what Prabhupada was doing. He was a real pioneer. He innovator, total innovator. You know, he wasn't institutionalized. His institution didn't follow him. They didn't want him. They said, okay, we may give you sannyas. Our books are more important than yours. Blah, blah, blah. And just come and join our institution, and then we may send you to America. Now, Prabhupada didn't want that. His time, his time was short, you know. He had to do something. The whole civilization going to hell. And he had his spiritual master's instructions ringing in his ears. Print books and distributed the English speaking. And he realized that the old Golden Mutt, with all due respect, anyone out there, it wasn't functioning properly. So he jumped on the Jaladutta. He got the opportunity. Krishna was providing for him. This is my only chance to do something. And there was Krishna. He was saying, come on, come on, when he had a heart attack. He had a dream. All the incarnations were rowing the boat. Krishna was rowing the boat, all the incarnations, pulling him across the Atlantic, which was so calm. No, I'd never seen the Atlantic. Captain Pandey had never seen the Atlantic so smooth. And then Prabhupada is praying, make me a puppet in your hand, make me a puppet. So we don't know what's going to happen. I heard, when I see Los Angeles Temple, I remember that story, because I was just in the Nepal earthquake. There was Rohini Kumar. He told me this story. Because he was, you know, he was formerly from L.A. And everyone came from Mangala Arati. And you just spent 50,000 or something for marbling these walls. And people were criticizing, why do you marble these walls in L.A. Temple? It costs so much. And just everyone was waiting for Mangala Arati's curtains to open. Big earthquake. All the marble fell from the floor. The devotees were saved, and they jumped on the altar. They caught the deities. This is true for us. For us, you see, this is true. Anyway, to be exaggerated. I was there in Nepal during the earthquake. It's not an exaggeration. It's very frightening. Earthquakes, very frightening. So we can't depend on anything except Krishna. Ultimately, that's what I'm saying. So we have to learn to depend on Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasadam, and following Prabhupada's order to go out and spread this movement. And automatically it will spread because Krishna's will. You know, that's what Krishna told Arjuna. He said, anyway, in the 11th chapter, all these warriors are not going back home. They're all finished. They're all going to be dead, whether you fight or not. Because I want them to be dead. Only you and the Pandavas will survive. So fight and get the credit. So this is what we have to do. And this is the best thing. Whether we're Grihastha, Brahmachari, we have to learn to depend on Krishna, taking Prabhupada's instructions, chanting the holy names, helping the Sangatam movement. So many things we have to do in every place. It's different. Your situation is different than London. Only you know what has to be done here. But the main thing we have to do is surrender to Krishna and learn to depend on Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please excuse me because I've just been for a month in Latin America, so I'm used to lectures being translated. So now I'm just blabbing away without thinking. So any questions, please? Any questions? Pajungta? No questions. It's nice if there's a question because it means at least one person might have been awake. It's kind of encouraging if there's a question. Hi, Bob. Mexico? Wow. That was really something. I never seen anything like that. What I saw in Mexico City. You know, we're playing away the Harinam Ritchie party. It's like hundreds of people dancing around, singing, chanting Hare Krishna. very spontaneous people. They have to be warmed up. They developed a technique of warming people up with a high noun, which I had to learn. You know, they have very beautiful young damsels. Damsels. Brahmacharinis and married girls, dancing in front of the Sangatam party. And then naturally a crowd comes around. Who's not attracted to dancing girls? Everybody will be. So that's the very attractive. And then they're hearing the rhythm drum, they're hearing the Maha Mantra. And then after, say, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, then they start drawing people into the kirtan. Come on, come on, come on. And boys also. Until you get more and more people dancing and then shouting Hare Krishna. And then there's one devotee called Virgendra from Colombia. He was in Mexico. He knows all these far out, like hip hop dances, and he gets them to do all these different movements whilst they're chanting. And meanwhile, all the book distributors are circulating. People are just hypnotized, and they just, you know, they take the book, how much? It's very, very nicely done. It was very exciting in Peru also, Peru, Colombia. People have a very they're less reserved than Americans. In America, a little bit more on a mental platform, I think. With all due respect, more reserved. Maybe younger people are less reserved, but and they can join in. But I tell you, Africa. That's the worst place. You know, you do the kirtan in Africa, there's like 500 people looking at you. Like this. Like you've just arrived from another planet or something. You're the forefathers returned as white men or something. And you know, they don't want to chant. They don't want to take prasadam. They look like they're going to eat you. They're going to eat you. They probably would. But when they hear, you know, when they hear that, what is the holy name? The holy name is like the sun. The sun has many names. God has many names. You know, Katanda, Imana, Mungu, all the African names. Vijayamakulu. And then oh, really? They're all the same person. Wow. Okay. Hare Krishna, you get them to chant. They are very much fearful. Africa people are fearful. South America people are not so fearful, especially young people. They like the rhythm, they like the dancing, and it's not difficult to get them to join in. So, you know, this is very important. Hare Nam is very important. And we went to some far out places up in Peru, Arequipa. Surrounding that town is like 3,200 meters up. Three volcanoes ready to go off. You're wondering whether the volcano would go off. And Puna is 3,800 meters. During the Harinam, you can't get oxygen. Feel a little bit weak, you know. And, Cusco, rather famous. Peruvian ruins were big temples, worshipping the sun god. In Mexico, we just went to see a big pyramid outside Mexico City. We did Harinam on top. We're not supposed to, actually. But there were some new ages there doing doing kind of meditations on top. So we did Harinam. And we distributed books also. It's very amazing. It's the sun god. We chanted the sun god mantra. Yajtaksha esha savita sakala gahanam rajas tamastu suramurti masesha teja yasya jaya brahmati samrita kala chakra govinda madhipusham samaham bhajami. And the Bhagavatam mantra. Om jaya sada saviti mandala majavati narayana sarasijasana sanivista Kayuravankulika Kundalavankiriti Hari Hiranmaiva Purdusha Shankachaka. We worship the sun god in the holy name on top of the pyramid. Many tourists were there. It was exciting. We also went on in Pune. There's this big lake called Titicaca Lake. It was very interesting. This is in Peru. This huge lake. It's the highest lake in the world or something. And these people live on rafts made of reeds. The lake is about 60 feet deep. But they're floating on these rafts made of reeds. And everything made of reeds, their houses, everything. Their boats. And of course it's Kali Yuga now, that's all become touristified. But it was very interesting to see how these people were living so simply. Of course they ate fish, but you know, what else can you eat when you're floating in the middle of a lake, you know. So it wasn't so bad. And we also went on with their families, and we chanted Hare Krishna, and we distributed books. So it was very exciting, you know. So Hare Krishna, Prabhupada said, adventure in surrender. You know, how to depend on Krishna. You have to take a chance, you have to surrender. Do something, try and get out of the box. We tend to get into a box. I get into a box. I am Guru, these are my disciples, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to go around, you know, I have to do my circuit for the 500th time in this life. But then, you know, actually, we have to depend on Krishna. We have to chant the holy names, take shelter of the holy names, try and spread the holy names. And, of course, we shouldn't neglect our duty. Well, our duty is there. We are sannyas or grihastha or brahmachari or temple president, cook. We should all do our duty. But we should remember that, you know, we all depend on Krishna at every moment. Hare Krishna. Any more questions, please? That was Mexico and Peru. Colombia was nice. I think you've got similar situations here. One disciple of Jayapataka Marsh started a farm there. And I was telling you about that. Young people go there. And we had kirtan and took prasadam. And it was very interesting. People are interested now, more and more interested in saving the Mother Earth, the planet Earth, and natural things. And they want to lead a pure life. So this is another approach to preaching. This is a successful approach. So thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here. And please excuse my ramblings. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. There's a song I like to sing after a class. May I sing? Vande Krishna Nanda Kumara. Nanda Kumara Madana Gopala.